Though, and welcome in Josh Briscoe, who will make his Chiefs Radio Network debut tomorrow night as the pre- and post-game host. Briscoe, first of all, I don't know if we've said congrats on air before, but congrats, and I'm guessing you're fired up for tomorrow.
Yeah, honestly, man, it doesn't take a whole lot for that first preseason game of the year. I'm already kind of itching for it because I am sort of sick in the head that way. But now with this entire week of preparation and getting to work with some more of the Chiefs Radio Network crew and getting all of my stuff together for tomorrow night, I am extremely excited. I think this is by far the most excited I've ever been for a preseason game. And I usually start that at a pretty high level. So, yeah, it's been a very cool, pretty surreal stretch of these last few weeks, month, whatever it's been, and I'm very, very glad to have football here for a whole variety of reasons.
We were just talking about other preseason games, and really, usually you pick a few players that you're going to key in on. If I were to ask you who you think has a chance to become the story maybe out of this game Saturday, who would you say is first?
I'll give you the one that I'm guessing you've already mentioned some because he has been a story out at training camp all summer. I want to see what Tyquan Thornton does against another team, against another defense. Can he get off the line of scrimmage against somebody who's going to put his hands on him over there? And is there an inclination? We're assuming, at least I'm assuming, I don't know this, but I'm assuming Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown aren't suiting up, not having practice, don't need him out there tonight or tomorrow night. But if Tyquan Thornton's out there with the ones, I don't even know if I care if Patrick Mahomes goes his way. I want to know if Andy Reid calls his number in terms of just having him out there to get a little bit more action in this offense. So I am, you know, for the eighth consecutive year, I've found a pass catcher in training camp who I really do think has a real chance to make the roster and then maybe make an impact. The last seven times, I'm not sure that's worked out. Maybe this time will be different. Eighth time, shame on me. But I really do want to see if Tyquan Thornton can show us a little bit of something. Not just like beating a blown coverage, but can he look like a useful player in this offense, like MVS was at his best times, like Justin Watson was. He played a huge, important role in this offense, eating some snaps. I think there's a chance Thornton can do that, and I think he can show us a little bit tomorrow.
This is the first time in the Camp Darling part, and he is still on Camp Darling Island, a thing we do up at training camp. Only four players remain. Nine entered. Only four remain. Although, again, it's reality TV on our show, too, which means you can re-enter. Tyquan's the first guy in a while that I'm like, you know, he could be a contributor that, like, we talk about every once in a while. I'm not going to tell you he's everything, but Justin Watson, you know, even his 350 yards, Briscoe, sometimes mattered because – you know, if you can just make a catch on third and five sometimes, that matters, especially because if you're Justin Watson or Tyquan Thornton, third and five, and Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy are out on the field, you pretty much get carte blanche to go up against anybody who can't cover if you're Tyquan Thornton. So, like, you should be able to win your matchups at that point. That's what I always felt like happened with Justin Watson. He was just going up against linebackers or backup safeties or, you know, not bad players, but less good players.
And I had to double check this to just make sure I was remembering it correctly. I'm going to say it, and half the people listening are going to go, that can't be right. Justin Watson played 60% of the Chiefs' offensive snaps last year. Obviously, you had Hollywood's injury and Rice's injury, and, you know, injuries happen. Hollywood's on the sideline now. Rice is going to miss some games, we guess. Justin Watson was on the field more than any Chiefs wide receiver last year in the regular season, not named Xavier Worthy, who barely passed him late in the year. So that's the other thing with Thornton that has him beyond the darlings of camps past. And let's go ahead and pour one out for Luis Rezamit. We barely LRC. Knew him, but man, he made an impact. Ugh. Red Zone Louie, I called him in for no particular reason.
He would have won Camp Island a couple of years ago, man.
Oh, man, I would have voted for him every step of the way.
I hear you're going to be the highest bidder, and eventually, if we do this Cody Engle garage sale ever again, with that LRZ signed helmet.
Not only that, I want you guys to know, like, I'm willing to engage in corruption to get that helmet. Like, I don't need to win it fair and square. I need to have it. I don't need a signed Tyquan Thornton helmet yet, but, like, the Chiefs do need somebody to go outside and do some of those things as the X receiver who doesn't end up being one of the main pass catchers in this offense, but somebody's got to run the route. Somebody's got to make a safety believe that you could try to take the top off the defense. And the fact that Thornton was in the offense late last season and then had some reps there, had the entire offseason, now has this, he got a head start in that, in his PhD in Andy Reid's offense or whatever it's going to be. Maybe it's just getting to 301 before this season starts. But I see the need for it, and that's the thing that separates him a little bit from your Reese Zamets or your Reese Fountains or whoever you've had in your years past, Justin Ross even. We saw the vision there, didn't come together. I'm cautiously optimistic about Thornton.
I forgot how good of a preseason Darius Fountain had.
I could never forget.
Such a good preseason.
Who was the other one? People were mad, went to Carolina, and everybody freaked out.
Amir Smith-Marset.
Yes, yeah, Amir Smith-Marset. I think he got a conditional seventh pick swap, something kind of thing going on there. I think he's a giant now.
Speaking of conditional pick swaps, Nate Taylor was on our show with us a couple of days ago when we were out at training camp, and he made it sound like that it's a non-zero chance that Felix Anudike-Uzomah is playing for his job this preseason. As in, maybe there's another team who suffers a defensive line injury who comes calling on a player like that where they haven't had the room and drafted two guys to directly compete with him, and Omar Norman Laden, Ashton Gelati, to go with the other guys who are back, like Mike Dana and Charles Amenihue. So it starts feeling like squeezed out of the room. Does it feel like to you, sometimes in preseason we talk about guys playing for their role, does it feel like Felix Anudike could be playing for his roster spot?
I got to talk to Nate less, because I told you at the beginning of this, you know, I got an obvious one and then kind of a sneaky one. Apparently it's not
that
sneaky.
Is that the sneaky one?
That's the sneaky one. Look, the unofficial depth chart is unofficial, right? This is not where the coaches have everybody. But something that Nate said also with Felix is that it's pretty indicative of the reps that he's seen at camp. Obviously, you guys have been out there a ton. Felix Anudike-Uzomah being in line behind Ashton Gelati is maybe a good sign for Ashton Gelati, but boy, it really hurts for a guy who was a first-round pick so recently and who showed some flashes last year. So yeah, I think Felix isn't going to be able to prove that he can be an NFL starter in the preseason against the second and third teams of the Arizona Cardinals, but if he is out there later in a game, I think he really needs to show a level of dominance. The level of dominance of, hey, this is a backup tackle. I need to look like a first-round pick who has a future in this league. I would guess at this point, and Nate would know more, but I would guess that he's not like a hot trade candidate, because it would be hard to sell lower on a former first round pick. But if you get down to the roster bubble and you're thinking, man, I don't know, Janarius Robinson might be more useful in Spags' defense right now, I would understand. The thing about it that was kind of evident at the time and then now just sort of just weighs heavy is, if you looked at Ashton Gelati and Felix Anudike-Uzomah, you took all the uniform colors away, you changed their numbers, they're just wearing black and white uniforms, and you can watch their college film and their camp film, and for Felix, his NFL film. If you said, all right, look at player A and player B, which one of these defensive ends looks more like a Steve Spagnuolo edge? Everyone would say, well, Ashton Gelati doesn't quite have the length that you'd like, but he's the guy, right? So I still hold out a little bit of hope that Felix has a future in a situational pass rusher kind of role. But if the Chiefs are no longer all that interested in seeing what else he has, that would obviously be a pretty big bummer.
When you look at the rest of where the Chiefs are offensively, we were talking a little bit about where they're going to be defensively and offense, and with the ninth ranked, I think was the random number we tossed out, offense be good enough for this team to win a Super Bowl. What do you think the absolute ceiling is for both? Defense and offense. What's the absolute ceiling of points per game? Everything goes well. Chris Jones, a 10 sack guy. You know, like, everything goes well within reason. Sure. Chris Jones don't get 25 sacks this season. But within reason, what do you think the peaks for both the offense and the defense are?
I mean, if Patrick Mahomes is playing quarterback, I'm going to say that the ceiling is that they're the best offense in football. And that's not that's not a snarky answer. That's legit. Obviously, if Rashee Rice misses significant time, I think it might be something where the season-long stats aren't quite as shiny, or maybe the beginning of the year without Rice would be a little bit more tumultuous. But I think by the back half of the season, we could be looking at this offense and say, all right, Josh Simmons has played 6, 7, 8 games. Rashee Rice is on the field. Everybody's up to speed. Hopefully Hollywood's healthy. We're going best case scenario here, right? The running back by committee is giving you some different pitches and some different looks you can show. And Travis Kelce's got a little bit of a load off his shoulders. He's more effective and more efficient, I guess I should say. And Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. I think they could have a kind of frustrating first 4 weeks or whatever. Again, like, if Rice isn't out there and things don't quite gel how you want them to, by the back half of the year, I think we're going to feel silly about that. If Josh Simmons is the answer, if Patrick Mahomes remains Patrick Mahomes, which I think he will, and if those weapons can be healthy enough to give Mahomes more to work with, they'll be the most fearsome offense in football by the end of the season, or certainly top five, I think, is not the floor, but the expectation. Defensively is kind of fun.
Yeah, we're talking to Josh Briscoe. Sorry, Briscoe. We're talking to him as he's getting set for the Chiefs Radio Network pre- and post-game show tomorrow night right here on 96.5 The Fan as the Chiefs open up preseason against the Cardinals to kick this thing off. We were looking at the AFC West, as we all have, and every year in the summertime, everybody's starting to make their predictions, and everybody falls in love with the Chargers or the Broncos. Yesterday, though, devastating news with Rashawn Slater, their left tackle, out for the season with that patellar tendon. What do you think this does for the AFC West and just how tight it's going to be?
I mean, it's a massive loss for the Chargers, and you can't help after having the patellar tendon on the mind for basically from March to now in Kansas City. I saw that news yesterday, and it just kind of takes the air out of you. Obviously, that's the matchup in week one for the Chiefs, and so they'll get a first crack at whatever the answer ends up being. I don't know if there's any talk of shuffling Alt to the left side or what they're going
to
do there.
The guy who used to play tackle for him, I think, was the rumor, is going to play left tackle for him again, the backup guy. I don't remember his name.
Pipkins, I think, would be the left tackle then if that's the plan, so good luck with that. It obviously, and maybe he'll work out, I don't know, but he's not going to beat Rashawn Slater. It's a crushing blow to the Chargers, who I think do have all the offensive pieces, at least maybe the wide receivers I've still got my doubts about. McConkey's good, and they've got Keenan Allen back. But it really did feel to me, for the, 10th consecutive season, I know, it did feel to me like the Chargers had a real chance. I think they still have a real chance to kind of take that step from perennial fringe team that never makes it work to finally getting one of those seasons from Justin Herbert, to finally having enough of a roster around him for that entire team to look better. You obviously have the right head coach there now, or at least I would say they do. But it's going to be such a burden to have to work around that. We know what it looks like when an offense can be kind of curtailed by poor left tackle play. We just watched that happen last season. So it's a big deal. And if they can get average left tackle play, again, thinking back to last Chiefs season, if they can get average left tackle play, they're a wild card team to me. But without a fringe wild card team. With Rashawn Slater, I think they would have been probably my favorite wild card pick of the group. You mentioned the rest of the AFC West. Like, the Raiders are a professional organization again, I think. You have a coach and quarterback who have done it before. That makes me respect them. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, but I think they're going to be tough to play twice a year for everybody in the division. And then the Broncos, maybe it's just Broncos hatred that I've held on to for too much of my life. The defense is going to be great again, obviously. Yes. I think Sean Payton is a very, very good head coach who still kind of rubs me the wrong way sometimes for reasons I can't fully explain. I'm going to hold on to my Bo Nix skepticism until he pries it from my hands, because I think they're going to be kind of a good enough, and the great care about the defense, a good enough team to, again, be a pain to play. But I think I still narrowly prefer the Chargers for the two slot, and I will still take the Chiefs to win the division. It might be a little bit uglier than it was last year. They're probably going to have more than one loss entering the last week of the season. But I would be really surprised if the AFC reign ends this year.
All right, Josh, we'll be listening tomorrow night. What time does pregame start on the Chiefs Radio Network?
6 o'clock, I get the nod there, and we'll be rolling. I'm going to talk a little bit about why the running back room I think should be interesting for all four quarters, and of course we'll break it down after the game goes final. And I know we'll have some familiar names. Maybe we'll have a couple under the radar guys who pop up into the radar after. We'll be there for all four quarters of it. And I, again, a sicko, am kind of excited to see who stands out from the back end of the depth chart.